Well, nice to meet you. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do at the school?
Sure. My name is Dr. Lorraine Peniston, and I'm the Director of Adult Development and Literacy here in Workforce and Continuing Education. And I oversee the ABE, GED, and ESL literacy programs.
What does ABE, GED, and ESL stand for?
Well, there are a number of different types of courses. Mm-hmm. And so when we look at placing someone in these classes, it's the section of the course. So with our adult basic education program, we address the educational needs of students to achieve their GED and assist English as second language students improve their reading. So with adult literacy, they can be placed in a reading, writing, math, science, or social studies class. Mm-hmm. And then we have very different levels. So ABE is adult basic education. And then we have a pre-GED class. So these are courses where students can either test into or they move from a ABE class to pre-GED, which covers reading and writing and math. And then from there, move on to a regular GED class. Mm.
Do most people start at ABE and work their way up, or do they just come in at whatever level that they're at?
It's a variety of students and their placement. So when we test them in the areas, we test them in the area of reading, writing, and math. And with ESL, English as a second language, is listening. Mm-hmm. So from those scores that they receive from their intake and assessment meeting, we then place them into certain levels of courses.
How long does it take for them to get through the courses? Would you say if I started at like ABE at the very first level, mm-hmm. from the first level to the GED courses, how long does that take?
It depends. Our classes are held every 9 weeks. So they're 9 weeks long, and then there's a 3-week downtime, and then we start again for another 9 weeks. So if the student continues, it could take at least a year or two to get through there. And in their level of course, so let's say they're at a pre-GED 3 math level, and that student can gain some skills and test again. So after each of the 9 weeks, the students always have a post-test. So it's a pre-test and a post-test. From there, it's possible the student may skip a level, you know, especially if they remember what they took, you know.
And retain a lot of that information.
You know. Yeah. So it is possible that a person can skip a level.
Mm-hmm. What are the prerequisites for the program? Or who's eligible for it as well?
Well, we really don't have any prerequisites, meaning that the student doesn't need to take any other classes. We don't need to see their high school record,
transcript.
No, we don't need to see that. But they have to be 18 years of old or older, officially withdrawn from a high school that they previously attended, not taking any college-level courses, and, you know, can start from there.
What do the pre-orientation sessions, like how do those normally go typically for, I guess since you have different levels, but I mean like, is it a general one or do you have a pre-orientation for each level?
It is a general one. So how the program progresses is that first an interested, soon-to-be student or prospective student here contacts us. They inquire and they tell us, you know, I'm interested in getting my GED or I need to, you know. Along with this, I'm working and I can't move up because I don't have a GED. Mm-hmm. So they can't get a promotion or maybe work in a different area of the company. So with that, we take down some information for them. We take their first name, their last name, telephone number, and email, and then also ask them about their goals, you know. And from there, they're put on a registration list. That is a registration for pre-orientation. So this can happen like 3 months before the course begins because our pre-orientations, that's the downtime, the 3 weeks between the 9 weeks that we do that.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so their information is put on there. And then we have our advisors or ABE or adult literacy advisors, contact the individual, give them a brief overview of our program, then assign them to a pre-orientation session. All of our pre-orientation sessions are virtual.
Really?
Yes. They're online.
Did that change because of COVID, or was it always like that?
It wasn't always like that, but we reach more people
virtually.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
And it's not a very long pre-orientation session. You know, it could run from like a half an hour to maybe 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. So we tell our students that you need to have some type of technology to participate in, whether it's a smartphone, a tablet, or your computer, you know, you do need that. Mm-hmm. So from there, a student who completes the pre-orientation will then be assigned to an intake and advising session. So that's where the person comes in. That's in person. So they need to come on our campus.
That's also within the 3 weeks, too?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's in within the 3 weeks. And the student has to come in. Now, this session can run anywhere between an hour or 2 hours because there's a lot of paperwork that the individual has to complete. Mm-hmm. We have advisors there that help them go through that. And then they're immediately assigned to tests that are on a computer that measure the...
The one that you were talking about
earlier. Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. It's multiple tests? I thought it was just one big one that tests reading, writing, and what, like math and science, I think it was?
Well, those are the four areas for GED tests. So we have, eventually we do prepare those students in that area for all three. But we primarily want to know their reading, writing, and math level, because that's where they end up at the the ABE.
Yeah, to judge their levels.
Right, to judge their levels. Now, it is possible that a student can test into a math GED, and so that person can just take that math class, you know. But there's actually four sections of the GED exam. So you have math, social studies, which is called language acquisition, so that's reading and writing. And after they complete that, then they're ready to take their GED test. And I also, in my department, we oversee the Pearson View Lab. And so students can then register to take their GED test, and they can come on campus and utilize the lab for testing purposes.
Can they take it whenever they're ready, or do they have to do all of the courses first? Because let's say, like, between that 3 weeks, I'm in, like, oh, my God, I forget. It's, like, pre-GED. And before I start taking the GED classes, I feel like I might be ready for it. Can I just go ask somebody if I could take the GED test if I feel like I'm ready and I study for it?
Well, within our program, we want students to obtain a certain amount of hours in the courses, you know. And then they have to post-test. So before they can say, I'm ready to take a GED exam, let's do a post-test to see where your level is in those areas. It is possible it could be close to where you would want to
be able to take
the GED, you know. That usually is when our students are in the upper levels, usually the pre-GED 5 or 6 level, that, you know, they'll have some educational gains there where they can then sit for their GED exam.
Okay. Do they have a choice of classes, or is it a set curriculum? Because I know you mentioned meeting a certain number of hours. I assume that it's a set curriculum for it, because
it is.
Okay. How does that curriculum normally go, and how do you break it down to people?
Well, our curriculum is based on state standards because we run a grant, a federal and combined state grant. They have guidelines, and so in a way, students do have a choice of classes and what they want to take, but it is a set curriculum.
You have to take certain classes.
You do. So a student can complete what we call a CASAS test. It's the Comprehensive Adult Student Assessment System test. It's a long one.
CASAS.
It's CASAS. And it covers reading, writing, and math. So for our spring classes coming up, which will start next week, students will be placed in ABE 2 reading and writing class. We have ABE 2 math. We have a pre GED reading and writing class, a pre-GED math class, a pre-GED 3 math class, and then there's the GED reading and writing and the GED math. And it varies, you know, because there's more levels of ABE and GED courses than what I had just listed. Most of them. So if a student can end up being placed, let's say, in a pre-GED math and a pre-GED reading and writing class. Mm-hmm. But because these individuals work, many of them work, you know, full-time, our courses are held in the evening, and they're acquiring new information. They might be motivated to take 2 classes, and that's their choice, but we talk to them about, is this something you can actually do at this time because of maybe your work or family situation?
What's the typical workload, just like one or two classes?
It's usually one class. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're 9 weeks. So it's shortened duration, and there's a lot of information that is being presented to the students. So they have a lot of reading, homework assignments, and then also there's one that we call an Aztec, which is supplemental homework that's done on the computer. So mm-hmm. that, with our Aztec program, it covers what's going to be on a GED.
Oh, it's a lot.
A test. So it's a lot.
So
yeah.
You got like in-class assignments, homework assignments, and yes. You got the Aztec thing. So you got like 3 things to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And part of the homework assignment might be Aztec. Mm-hmm. But we encourage students to participate in Aztec because it does prepare them for the GED test. Yeah.
Most definitely. How does ABE help students prepare for real life situations?
Well, with the classwork, homework assignments, the curriculum in CASAS covers 9 basic areas of competency. So it looks at basic communication, community resources, consumer economics, health, employment, government and law, learning and thinking skills, and independent living. So example, in the health curriculum, they covered COVID. And in consumer economics, look at establishing your credit, understanding your saving and spending habits. So the curriculum is related to what adults do in their daily life. Yeah. Also, there's areas that look at performance on the job. You know, how do you keep yourself organized? You know, how do you follow through on this task and that one?
Mm-hmm. Like work ethic.
Work, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know you also mentioned critical thinking, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I forget what you just said, the word that you used, but like the 9 different.
The 9. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which ones of those cover critical thinking, do you think?
Well, usually with critical thinking, it's in every subject area.
Mm-hmm.
And questions are posed to the student to problem solve. And with that, how would you use it now or in the future? For example, with spending habits, if they're used to seeing maybe their parents or friends or loved ones, you know, spend in a different fashion, but now they're learning something new. Okay, so how can you then change or add on to what you previously know about your spending habits?
Mm-hmm. It's something that's like constantly drilled into them throughout all of the courses. So it's kind of like just an intangible that you get from them.
Right. It covers every area of that. Math covers measurement. And so if you're going to be in a job and you're working with liquids, you need to know.
Yeah. Even math could be like accounting in itself. Yes. Just money management, period.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. How to create a budget. Yeah.
Yeah. Finance, mm-hmm. financial literacy.
Yes. Yes. That's what it does cover. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Financial literacy.
What's the average class size that you get?
It's 12 to 15.
Like right in the middle. Yeah, I also wanted to ask that because it's like, do y'all also emphasize the students working with each other?
Yes.
Just because it's a small class size, I feel like they might be a little bit closer with each other as well.
Yeah.
I know that teamwork is always like something that's valued in the workplace, you know?
Yes, and that's an important skill to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. To hear somebody else's ideas, understand, well, how did they get to that solution? oh, that's the way that maybe I can do it this way, or how do I talk this out to get the answer? Like,
you could be good at something, but there's multiple ways to get to the right answer, you know?
Right.
It's like somebody might like to do, like, I don't know, long division, and you like normal division, but they don't know how to do long division. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I'm saying? Y'all get together, y'all talk to the teacher. Mm-hmm. It's just you become a lot more codependent on your peers, and that's always a good thing, in my opinion.
And some of these students will follow each other in levels. Mm. So you have that camaraderie.
Yeah, most definitely. Mm-hmm. Most definitely. It's always good to have, like, people that you know in your class. It makes you feel like, because I know it's probably intimidating taking, like, classes like that, because not everybody has to do that, you know? Mm-hmm. But even attempting to get your GED is, like, something ambitious, you know?
It is.
And it can be scary. But if you know somebody in there, at least you start with somebody and you get along with them, y'all on their journey together, you don't feel alone, you know?
Yes.
Why do you think it's important to get your GED?
You know, it's very important for a person, and sometimes they don't realize that it helps with getting the job that they wish to have, their long-term goal, and that what you are learning, you know, the information, this new information to you, how can you now apply it and use it, or even explain it to someone else?
I think that it allows people to, like, bridge the gap, doesn't it? Even like that level of, like, literacy, I mean. But then y'all might read, like, an article in, like, one of y'all classes, and then be like, well, I like reading these. And then they might go out and just, you know, it kind of, like, starts that journey searching for knowledge, you know? You should never stop looking for knowledge, you know what I'm saying? You should be learning your entire life, but, you know, you got to start somewhere.
Yes.
How do you find the teachers for the programs? And how many do you have?
We have at least, like, 12 instructors.
One per class.
One per class. We have instructors that teach multiple classes, you know, it's usually, you know, two. We have an ongoing listing in the HCC jobs opportunity website. So it's in the part-time adjunct instructors area for adult literacy instructors. So that's up all the time. I have friends who work at the public schools in Towson. I contact Towson and Tombs for those teacher education graduates.
Oh, okay.
To see if they're interested. But yes, we're always hiring for our part-time literacy instructors for either the basic adult basic education, the GED, or English as a second language.
What type of things do you look for when you hire a teacher?
One, that they've had some teaching experience, preferably with adults, but that doesn't necessarily need to be the case, because
if they work with children.
That they've worked with children. Some of them come with a background in special education, but they've had that experience teaching, and they know how to put together lesson plans or follow lesson plans.
Yeah, that's the type of teacher that you want, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Have you had any past student feedback?
Yes.
We've
had some, you know. Most are glad that they stuck through the course.
Mm-hmm.
And they realized that it was very vigorous for that short 9 weeks to accomplish this task. And then, you know, continue with other areas of their life. So that's an accomplishment.
Yeah,
it is for any student, you know.
Do y'all incentivize going to college after you get the GED?
We do. Our transitional specialist meets with and contacts the student to look at, you know, what their goals are. They have to establish goals. At the pre-GED level, you know, and actually in the intake and assessment, we have them write down their goals, you know. Now, their goals may change by the time they complete the GED courses.
Yeah, a lot can change in, a year, right?
In a year, you know, or longer.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot can change, and we do refer them out to any
institutions.
You know, we refer them to come to Hartford, you know.
Mm-hmm. Just because, I mean, why not stay here?
And there's a number of workforce training programs we have in the workforce area over there in the college that are what's called stackable credentials, because there are businesses that are looking for high school graduates that have certain skill sets. And with the area of especially computers, there are courses you can take where if you complete them, you then take the test to be certified and you can get hired.
And what kind of subjects do y'all have? You have computers, what, engineering, like different types of trades?
Or? They have different type of trades. We have apprenticeships program in electrical engineering. We have HVAC. We have a program with drones. So there's like two courses that you can take for operating a drone, and then you can get certified in that. There's the test you take. Allied Health. So we have one of our cohorts is a GED to CNA program.
Okay.
Yeah, certified nursing assistants. Mm-hmm. And that's one area there. Child care, which is a big one, you know, taking your 90 hours. And it changes quite often, but, you know, we do encourage students to take part in that, yeah, at the college.
How is your program, like, what's the scope looking like for the future? Do you plan on, like, expanding or adding anything to the program?
We do. We've noticed that since a year we've had an increase in our enrollment. So with our ABE enrollment last year, 2021, from 2022, it increased by 36.8%.
That's good.
Our ESL, and this may be another program to look at, English as a second language, increased by 74%. And we are getting referrals from agencies who would like to have ESL programs in their business.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that's great. Yes, indeed. So that's one area definitely, you know, of expansion.
Okay.
And to look at some other bridge programs where we can take from GED to business training.
Mm-hmm.
There was one we had was forklift training. We'll see what's out there.
Yeah.
You know.
Most definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Any type of, well, you already said businesses and companies and stuff. Any schools that y'all was looking at to try to cooperation, partnership or something like that, other than HCC?
Well, we like to keep the business at HCC.
Yeah, you're right. I was just curious.
And, you know, well, we also collaborate with Towson Tune, but usually the student has to receive their, you know, AA first to transfer over there, but they might be interested in just getting a bachelor's degree. So that's where we, let them know we do have, there's some programs that are right across the street in Tune.
Yeah, in Towson.
They can try, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I was saying, if there are any other schools you were looking at, you know what I'm saying? Hey, somebody might want to do it.
That's right, yes.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Because they have degree programs over there that we don't have here at Hartford, community college. And so, yeah.
Well, where can people find more information about the program?
Well, they can either call us directly. Our telephone number is 443-412-2616. Or you can definitely visit our website at www.harford.edu, and we'll answer any questions you have and just encourage you to come if you're listening, or any family or friends. And one thing I didn't say is that which is important, ABE and pre-GED classes are free, and ESL classes are free. When you get to the GED level, the tuition is $70, and then you have to pay $50 for your books. However, a student can apply for a scholarship and get a reduction on each there, on either the books or some...
Any supplies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or your course, yeah.
That's what I forgot to ask. I forgot to ask how much it costs.
Yeah, that's another reason. It's free.
Free 99 yes. Till you get to, what, ESL?
It's the GED level.
GED level. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And it's still a good bargain, $70, you know.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's
not bad.
It's $70 per semester?
For a course, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So if someone tests and they're in the GED science level, just have to pay $70 for it, you know. Now, it depends upon how you progress through that level, because you have to get your hours and then post-test to see if you can move beyond that or take your exam. You know, if you don't make that and you need to repeat the course, then it's another $70, but it's still kind of inexpensive, you know.
Yeah. $70 is not that bad.
Not that bad, you know.
But anything else you would like to share?
for the listeners out there, if you have any questions, feel free to call us, and we look forward to serving you.
Most definitely. Thank you for your time, Ms. Lauren.
You're welcome. You have a good day. Bye.